Okay then. So, have you ever been in that situation when you hear the doorbell ring, when you open up the door and to your surprise, some unexpected guests? Oh, what lovely surprise, you say. Didn't expect to see you today. Well, we were in the area, so we thought we'd pop in, they reply. In troop, two adults, two children, and sat themselves on the sofa and chairs in the lounge. As the afternoon wears on, it looks like they settle in for the night and they look a bit hungry. What do you do? Ask them politely to go in search and search the cupboards to find enough food to go around. Well, this happened to me once when I lived in Old Woking. My ex-husband and I, we knew this couple who had two children, and the husband was always in and out of work. On one occasion, myself and the children, their father, had been unwell with a nasty cold, so we'd not been to do the weekly shop. The cupboards were, I can tell you, nearly bare. When you've got three children, they eat you out of house and home, don't they? So when we heard the ring of the door, and there stood our friends with two children in tow, my heart sank. At this point, I knew I didn't have a lot in the cupboards, and really wondered how I was going to feed us all. I looked in the cupboards and all I could find was a large bag of pasta, two tins of tuna and a tin of sweet corn. So mums around would know what I was going to bake. I stood at the hob watching the pasta cook and the sweet corn boil in the pan and wondered how I was going to feed everyone. Well, we all sat down and to my surprise, everyone ate. They were full and seemed to enjoy my cobbled together dinner. Now we're going to find out how Jesus fed 5,000 with only two loaves and five fishes. So if we turn to Matthew 14, 6 to 21, Bryony is going to read. And in the blue Bibles, if you've got it, it's 981. Okay.
Okay, so Matthew 14, starting at verse 6. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a dish the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a dish and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed those who were ill. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only five loaves of bread and two fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he told the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children.
The story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 can be found in all four Gospels. The only other account that can be found in all four Gospels is Christ's death and resurrection. The feeding of the 5,000 reminds us of Jesus' compassion for the needy and the poor. When my children were younger, I found it very hard to find any time myself for at least 5 minutes' peace. They used to follow me around everywhere, as little children have a tendency to do. Fortunately for me at that time, I had two dogs that needed walking. So when I got the opportunity to be on my own, I took them for long walks over the fields to get some time to gather my thoughts. In Matthew 14, 16 to 12, we learn that John the Baptist had been beheaded, and John's disciples carried the news to tell Jesus and the disciples of Herod's death. When Jesus heard the news, he went by boat to a solitary place. In the grand scheme of things, this is understandable, as his cousin had just been killed by the king. He probably wanted some time to pray and have some solitude to take in all what that had happened. Jesus needed a quiet time away from the crowd. The people recognized Jesus and followed him along the shore, and when he landed, he saw a large crowd. Jesus had compassion on the people who had met him at the shore. He recognized the crowd who were like sheep without a shepherd. He saw their need and immediately fulfilled it. He spent time with them, teaching and talking to them. Jesus saw the people as lost, scattered, and vulnerable, lacking the direction and protection a shepherd would provide. He was illustrating their need for guidance and care. When the disciples eventually came to Jesus, it was late in the day. The disciples wanted Jesus to send the people away to the nearby villages and get food for themselves. Jesus replied, "Feed them yourself." Jesus had another idea. He used this situation as a teaching tool for the disciples. He was testing the disciples on their faith and obedience. At this point, I really do feel quite sorry for the disciples. There's no Costco's or Tesco's nearby where they could buy food to feed everyone. Jesus' disciples stated that it would be a huge layout to feed the crowd just with bread. So Jesus sent them into the crowd to see how much food they could find. Can you imagine what the disciples were thinking when they came back with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? Certainly, I would have looked at the meager amount and doubted that it would have fed 5 to 10 people, let alone 5,000. Jesus directed the disciples to tell the people they should sit in groups of 150. Then he took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Jesus held up and looked up to heaven and gave thanks, then broke the loaves and fishes. He gave them to the disciples. They divided the loaves and fishes into baskets and distributed them to the people. After the people were fed, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of broken pieces of food. Not only had Jesus fed the crowd, but there was abundance left over. Jesus was also showing how compassionate he was, and how if you have faith in him, all things are possible. Jesus saw the people were tired and hungry, but this act taught the crowd and the disciples about God's provision and the importance of trust. We read in Exodus 16, we find that God provides for the Israelites in the wilderness by sending manna and quail from heaven. God was also teaching the Israelites about faith and their willingness to act in faith. This act of faith, even with such inadequate resources, was a demonstration of God's power and a lesson not only to the disciples, but for us today. To rely on God to provide rather than our own limited resources.
Go have a drink.
Jesus feeding the 5,000 makes us aware of Jesus' deep love for the poor and the needy, his compassion for his people. He had a heart for the less fortunate. He understood their need and he provided for them. We see this in the first part of the passage when it it is mentioned that Jesus had travelled and had been healing the sick. His compassion is without bounds. Even after he had travelled far, he had healed the sick and did so many other miracles. His priority was still the crowd that had followed him to hear his teaching. He could have miraculously conjured up enough food for the crowd, but that would have been the easy way. By asking the disciples to distribute the food for the people, these disciples had to trust for everything that they distributed and have total dependency upon the Lord for the food supply, which is how God uses us today. Really, what good was 5 loaves and 2 fishes in the grand scheme of things? Not a lot, really. But God uses this example to show that he could feed as many people as he wanted, as he was God. But the disciples had to put their trust in Jesus to provide for them all. We today can be given this situation where we are faced with the practical outworking of this theory. Do we not tend to doubt that God would meet all our needs? Do we not doubt that after all the gifts and talents he has bestowed on us, we still cannot do what he asks or how he can possibly meet all our needs? In Psalm 132, verse 15, it says, "He will do more than provide for his people. He will give an abundance." The Bible urges us to action, to actively help others, have concern for people who are not able to have access to those resources. If you share what you have, God will bless you many times over. So as a church, how can we demonstrate our compassion for the poor and the needy? King's has always had the poor, the misfortunate and the needy at its core. We do feasts every month. We invite people off the streets, friends and relatives to our gathering. We bring food which sometimes doesn't seem enough, but God multiplies what we have and there is usually seconds and third helpings. But we trust the Lord will provide and multiply what he has given. Isaiah 58 verse 7, "It is not to share your food with the hungry, is it not to share your food with the hungry and to provide for the poor wanderer with shelter?" We run a food bank at King's, and from October 24 to March 25, here at King's, we gave 2,051 vouchers and fed 4,693 people with food that had been donated. God is good. He will provide. He will multiply your offerings. The church tithes a tenth of its income to use for organisation and projects abroad and at home. God is good. He will multiply what we have been given. So maybe you think, what else can we do to help and feed others who don't have as much as we do? There's a box there that's labelled food bank. If we all added one item to the box each week, it would be overflowing with God's provision. He will bless our giving. Throughout the Bible, God motivates people through what he has already done for them. As we have quickly looked at this passage, we see a crowd that followed Jesus like a famous person from the television, TikTok or Instagram. A saviour who welcomes people even when he just wants some time alone. A disciple that gets antsy when Jesus because they fail to see who he is and what he can do. In Corinthians verses 8-9, it talks about how Jesus became poor so we could become rich. Paul's not talking about monetary riches here, but how Jesus gave everything he had through his death on the cross and his resurrection so we could receive everything God has given. So as a church, how can we help a little bit more? Maybe when we do our weekly shop, just add an extra tin, a bag of rice, cereal packet, shampoo, deodorant, or into your shopping basket. It doesn't have to be a lot. We have heard today that God is our provider. He is our creator. He oversees our lives. All he wants is what's best for his people. It is not for those who have given more to give to those who have not a lot. But even these people may not believe that God is their saviour, but just one act of giving can bring them into God's fold and King's Church's family. So that's it. So I'll just take a quick prayer. Heavenly Father, as we gather here today, we ask for your blessings. We ask, Lord Jesus, that whatever you provide us for our needs, for everything we do. We ask, Father, that we don't strive to get what we want, but we trust in you, Lord, that you would provide. In your name, amen.